with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. But there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday, as you remember in the Gospel, we focused on those 10 lepers, only one of whom came back to say thanks after being healed of the most dreadful disease known. Jesus stressed that the one person who came back to thank him was a Samaritan, a true shocker. Just like in the parable of the Good Samaritan, when not only the Jews, but the representatives of the holiest Jews, the Levites and the priests, didn't do anything for this ambushed man. It was a Samaritan, a despised foreigner, who did. So when Jesus yesterday stressed that it was only the Samaritan who came back to thank, it was more or less to imply that so often the fellow Jews were just ingrates. They thought maybe they deserved it, that God didn't need to be thanked. For us, as Catholics, we're much closer to God by the sacraments, not by our own merits, by our sacraments and by revelation, than the Jews ever were. But it's key for us to be grateful. Today, Jesus focuses on what we should be grateful for. He says that the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, had come with so much money and so gargantuan a retinue just to hear Solomon's wisdom. But when Jesus was speaking, his wisdom was so much greater. But again, the people didn't appreciate it. Jesus was calling them to appreciate it. Likewise, he said, that a pagan city of Nineveh, as we heard last week, when Jonah began to crisscross it and say 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed, that entire pagan city, from the king down to the pets, got into sackcloth and ashes and begged for God's mercy. Jesus said there's a far greater preacher, far greater sign of conversion than Jonah here. But we as Catholics need to make sure we appreciate Jesus' wisdom. We appreciate Jesus' call to conversion. You know, I've said it a lot, and I'm probably, I think, going to say it until some other priest celebrates my own funeral. But we Catholics are disgraceful in our gratitude for Jesus' wisdom. If we really appreciated Jesus' wisdom, we would know the Bible far better than the smartest Protestant. But a lot of the times we just kind of let it pass by, as if we don't really need to know Jesus' wisdom as the real gift that it is. Throughout New England last night, or yesterday, they would have spent 3.5 hours watching the Patriots beat the Saints and 4 hours watching Big Poppy hit a grand slam in the bottom of the 8th inning. But few people would have found any minutes, because they would have been too busy to ponder a far greater gift, which is God's great gift of wisdom in sacred scripture. I'll always be bewildered when a parish like ours offers a Bible study and 90% of the parishioners don't somehow arrange to try to get there. I think fundamentally it's that they don't appreciate the gift of what the Bible is. It's not that they're bad people. They just fail to appreciate the gift. Many times in our lives, we've received gifts from others that we haven't valued. And we say kind of the perfunctory thank you. But we're really not grateful because we don't really think it's all that great a gift. Jesus has dropped this incredible gift in our hands. But we have to appreciate this wisdom for what it is. Likewise, Jesus is the sign of Jonah, the greatest call to conversion ever. But a lot of the times we don't appreciate that summons to conversion because we don't think we need it all that much. That's why we have hanging over me the banner of divine mercy, in the hope that Jesus, that sign of Jonah, calling us to trust in his mercy, will be able to effectuate what Father Nick and I have obviously not been able to effectuate, knowing the rate of confession at a parish like this, in a city in which we know there are some spiritual issues. Greater sign than Jonah here. Jesus is constantly calling us to conversion and to holiness. St. Paul stresses that in the first reading of his letter to the Romans. He describes his own vocation. He was set apart for the gospel of God and appointed an apostle. And what was the mission of the apostle? He's very clear about it. To bring about the obedience of faith. Now for us, a lot of the times when we hear that word obedience, we hear slavery. Somebody else is going to boss us around. Somebody else is going to rob us of our freedom and bark out imperatives that we just need to say, yes, master. Not at all. The obedience of faith, which is the apostolate in the church, from St. Paul all the way down to yours and mine, it's always to call to a loving obedience of faith. You know, a wife who loves her husband or a husband who loves his wife, when the spouse asks for something, they don't feel like they have to do it so that they won't get beaten, so that they won't get branded. They do it because they love. That's the type of obedience that we are called to have toward Jesus, appreciating his incredible wisdom that we freely say, I know you know so much more than I do. I know you want what I want and can see what I can't see. And so, even though I might not understand what you're asking me to do, I do so with all my heart. That's the type of obedience that's meant to be brought about. Obedience to God, obedience in faith. During this year of faith, it's one of the most important concepts that we need to grasp, that our faith is to transform our life so that we literally are obedient. And as I've mentioned many times before, that word obedient in Latin means to eavesdrop, to listen so intentively that you're hanging on every word as a word to be done with love. That's the mission of the church. And later, St. Paul describes, to all of you who are called to belong to Jesus, to all the beloved of God in the Church of Rome, called to be holy. That vocation, through the obedience of faith, helps us, like Mary, who was obedient in faith, to become truly holy. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Callistus, one of the great stories of the early church. A total shocker, still now 1,800 years later. He was a slave, and his master was basically a money broker, and he was in charge of managing some of the accounts. Callistus seemed to lose the money in one way or the other. There's no sense that he was incompetent, no sense that he had stolen it. Maybe he had given it all away in charity, who knows? But he was in huge trouble. So he ran away and his master hunted him down. Eventually, he was sentenced to do some time. But when he got on out, he was appointed by Pope St. Zephyrinus to manage the cemetery that now bears his name, where eventually 9 popes were buried. Now you can visit it, called the Catacombs of St. Callistus. And after Pope St. Zephyrinus died in 217, shockingly, Callistus himself was elected Zephyrinus' successor. And because of his own life, someone who had received the tremendous mercy of God so many times, freeing him not only from physical slavery, but also spiritual slavery, he was intent on dispensing the Lord's mercy lavishly for those who had been caught in adultery. The penance at the time was about 10 years worth of bread and water, and you could only be forgiven once. He was accused of being lax by welcoming these people back and lessening the penances so that they could be united with the church. Even to those who had been weak during times of persecution, he opened wide the road to mercy so that they could come back, learn anew from Christ, who is that perpetual sign of conversion and wisdom and flesh, how to progress in holiness and the obedience of faith. And they came on in, but he was harshly criticized by Tertullian, the greatest writer in the early church, who massacred him for his mercy, thought that the church needed to be tough, as well as Hippolytus, who became an anti-pope because he wanted the church to be much tougher. There are many people today, for example, who think that Pope Francis is a little bit too merciful, saying similar things in an echo of 1800 years ago. But that's what the church is all about. Not just mercy, but the conversion that leads to it. And when we talk about both together, then we're doing what we need to do. Pope St. Callistus was eventually martyred in witness to the Lord. He's always been an incredible witness that the Lord calls all of us, especially those of us who are enslaved to sin, to experience the mercy of God, which makes it possible for us to fulfill our vocation, as St. Paul says, to be holy. Today, as we come forward on his feast day, we ask him to pray for us. The Lord has truly made known his salvation, as we prayed in the responsorial psalm. He made it known in his own flesh, and he has sent Paul out, and Callistus out, and Herbert Nichols out, and Roger Landry out, and you out, with the beauty of this obedience, as he has sent Mary out, to show this path to wisdom, to perpetual conversion, and to sanctity. May we follow along that path, as St. Callistus has done before us. Praise be Jesus Christ.